Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, it is a pleasure to welcome to the program Andrew McDiarmid, who is a director of podcasting and a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He is also a contributing writer to Mind Matters AI. He produces ID the Future, a podcast from the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute that presents the case, research, and implications of intelligent design and explores the debate over evolution. He's also been deeply concerned with the impact of smartphone usage among kids and the growing push for limiting and even banning smartphones and tablets for our children. First of all, what is the connection between smartphones and social media and the current mental health crisis that so many people have written about and become alarmed about facing American youth?
Yeah, good question, and thanks for having me, Michael. So basically, you know, this goes back to 15 years ago and more. The Children's Online Privacy Protection Act came out in 2000. And at that time, the number 13, the age 13, was arbitrarily chosen. And this was 4 years before Facebook, 11 years before Snapchat, 16 years before TikTok. But 13 was chosen. The original sponsor of the bill wanted the age of 16, but he was thwarted by tech companies and civil liberties groups. So they went with 13. I guess they really didn't think about it enough or know any better. And here we are, you know, 23 years later, and we can see the results of this, Michael, and it's really not pretty. We are in the middle of a mental health crisis amongst adolescents. Our teenagers are really struggling with the use of these digital products, smartphones, and everything that comes with smartphones. And, you know, Jean Twenge, she has written books on this and has really tracked the rise of the mental health issues like depression, self-harm, and suicide among U.S. adolescents and young adults. And it really began in and around the year 2010, you know, when the first smartphone was out for a few years. Facebook was kicking things into high gear. Twitter was on the scene. And kids started to wrestle with how to use this to cope with this. And that's really where we see the disruption of in-person social interactions amongst kids, the interference with sleep time and the quality of sleep, the cyberbullying really kicking into high gear, the toxic online environments. And as we can talk about later, you know, kids are uniquely vulnerable to these behaviors coming into play. And again, as we'll talk about, the technology companies, they've known what they're doing, and they're producing this addictive content with addictive technologies, and we have to stand up and we have to stop it.
Okay, let's talk about this a little bit further. And by the way, we've had Jean Twenge, who's a professor at San Diego State University and has been really prophetic on this issue for many years. She's been a guest on the show many times. And okay. Because this is a very serious matter. If you can explain to people, and I'm sure you can, how would, for instance, on issues like you mentioned, depression and suicide and self-harm, eating disorders have been related to this use of social media. How would that work with a given child, say a 15-year-old, who would be more sensitive to that experience of depression and self-destructive behavior because of a deep exposure to social media? How would that work particularly?
Right. Well, you know, a 15-year-old, you know, we understand that brains of youth are not fully developed until their early 20s. And they're being handed this device that is all kinds of mature connection with all kinds of people, both inner and outer circle. And it's not just the maturity of the connection, but also the addictiveness of the platforms. You know, the endless scrolling, the algorithm suggesting before you can think of it what to do next. And, a 15-year-old just cannot handle it. And if the 15-year-old is a girl, it's even worse because you have body image issues. And when you throw in the idea that the producer of Instagram, Facebook, right, Meta, they knew that this was really, really causing, 15, 16, 17-year-olds to struggle with their body image, to make themselves feel worse about who they were after sessions on Instagram. When you throw that in, it just becomes all the darker. But as to your question, a 15-year-old just cannot handle it. And I go back to the fact that teens are uniquely vulnerable. Adults, over 18 and, 20s and 30s, okay, we have experience. We have built up some of that willpower to say no to things that even are addicting. But teenagers struggle with that. It's sort of part of the genetic makeup of teens at this age. There's an increase in impulsive behavior and in openness to peer approval that is supposed to peak 13, 14, 15 and start coming down. And a recent study earlier this year in JAMA Pediatrics shows that instead of peaking and coming down, kids that are habitually checking their devices to see what's new, to see who's responding to what they put out and their photos and their images, that trajectory just keeps going. And those habitual social media checking behaviors are physically altering adolescent brains over time. They become hardwired.
Well, there's a brand new report from Pew Research Center that says that nearly one in five teens say that they are on YouTube or TikTok almost constantly. And again, is this also a detract from academic performance? There have been moves recently in a number of school districts to try to ban social media or smartphones from schools entirely, so that you'd have to check in your phone before you go into a classroom. Do you think this is a move in the right direction?
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, yeah. I think we're starting to see a trend. This has been a banner year, actually. In January of 2023, the Surgeon General came out warning, finally, against kids using social media under 16. He pushed it off. He said 13 is too early. And again, this was an arbitrary number that they had started off with, in 2000. The National Review ran a cover story this summer: keep them offline. We have age restriction laws governing all kinds of things: driving, voting, getting into the military, smoking. Why would we treat social media any differently? And in fact, the inventor of the endless scroll feature that we all seem to see in these platforms these days has likened it to behavioral cocaine. This is not something we can expect our young people to handle without problems, But we are moving in the right direction. And as you say, some school districts, even some towns, I believe there was a town in Ireland whose parents got together and said, look, let's just not give our kids under 18 a phone and let's try this. And so there are experiments being done right now that are giving kids a cell phone free, social media free environment. And they're watching what happens. And for the most part, these are positive results. I think the Gab phone, there's a phone out there called the Gab phone, and they ran a study when they were commissioned by a school district, and they tried it, and the positive results are out.
Okay, let's hear about those positive results. There's also a new move in China to limit teenagers' smartphone use to a maximum of 2 hours a day in a bid to prevent addiction to mobile devices. We will get to that and more. Coming back on The Medved Show with Andrew McDiarmid.
Entertain your brain.
It's awesome.
Portions of The Michael Medved Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute.
And Andrew McDiarmid is a director of podcasting and a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. And he has been doing a great deal of research and writing about the dangers of smartphone usage and social media in general among children. And just saying that there is beginning to be more concern and more activity on the part of parents and also of the local governments and school districts and more about trying to limit that usage. Do you ever think we would come to the level that China has come to? China is going to be limiting teenager smartphone use to a maximum of 2 hours a day. And authorities are cracking down on screen time in a bid to boost teen health. Aside from China, there's also the state of Utah. Why is the state of Utah particularly noteworthy on this issue, Andrew?
Yeah, so they have a first-in-the-nation law that actually goes into effect next March, and is designed to shield teens from addictive platforms. It is the most sweeping legislation in the United States so far, and I fully support it. I really think it's a great option. It shields kids in several ways. First, it requires parental consent for kids to access any social media platform, and that's on a case-by-case basis. So there's not a switch you can, you know, be convinced to flip on, and that's the end of it. So express parental consent for kids between 13 and 17 for any social media platform. It also allows parents full access to social media accounts of their minor children so they can see what they're posting, the photos they're sharing, et cetera. And finally, it prohibits kids under 18 from using social media when they should be sleeping between the hours of 10:30 and 6:30 in the morning. So it really goes further than anything we've seen in the United States so far to say, look, this is an existential problem. You know, we're at the point of no return. And we need to take serious action. You know, there are other.
How do you enforce something like a ban during sleep time? You said between 10 and 6 a.m. there would be a complete ban. How do you enforce that unless parents decide to support it themselves?
Well, Michael, that's a good question. I haven't dug into every nut and bolt of that law. In fact, that's why they've given it a year before it officially takes over. In fact, you can go to the Utah website right now, the government website, the state website, and see the ideas that they're proposing to manage this and to keep kids accountable and to help parents with this. Obviously, it's going to require new technologies put in place to allow for these verifications and allow for this turn off at certain hours. But they're certainly working on it actively right now.
We've talked a little bit about what governments can do, what school officials can do. What about parents themselves? How would you recommend that parents begin doing a better job of protecting our children from some of the dangers of social media and smartphone use?
Absolutely. Well, parents, you know, I would say to you, don't give your 13 to 17-year-old a smartphone. I know the temptation is great, and I'm in the same boat here. I have three daughters, and I also have a son. And, you know, don't feel like just because your life is getting busier and they're doing more activities that you have to give in to a smartphone. There are alternatives. There's something called a family loaner phone, where you can get a phone that doesn't belong to the child, the teenager, but they can use it when they're out of the house. So they only get it when they're away from you and only to keep in touch with you. There are some alternatives hitting the market that I would recommend as well. There's one called the Wise phone and another called the Light phone. And both of those do not allow apps to be downloaded. There's no internet browser. There's no social media to distract and make a mess of your time. It's just certain utilities plus phoning and texting. And a good camera, if that's something you want to use. So those are definitely good options that I would suggest. There's the good old flip phone, but even those have internet browsers, and you can access certain things with that. But the Wise phone and the Light phone are definitely good options these days, along with the family loaner model. And when it comes to social media, parents, just don't let your 13 to 17 year olds use social media. There is really not good enough reasons to introduce social media to kids under 18. There's nothing they truly need on those social media platforms that they can't get offline or elsewhere. And just as a thought experiment, think for yourself. If all of social media went dark tomorrow, what would you miss? And how could we communicate and stay in touch? It's worth thinking about.
Well, it is. And it's one of those things where in religious homes, and this is very much true in the Jewish community, one of the things that is restricted is the consumption of media on the Sabbath or on major holidays. And that idea that you can learn or discipline yourself for 25 hours a week, for one period of time, for the Sabbath from Friday evening until the next Saturday night, you just wouldn't go to TV or to your computer or to your smartphone or to any devices. You'd actually talk to real people. That's one of those things that I know that there are people who have adopted a more religious, Sabbath-oriented kind of a family schedule, basically with in mind all of the values that you're talking about. And speaking of which, there's a big piece in the New York Times today about the voters taking a look at the Middle East and which side do they favor. And there's only one group, major group in America, and it's people between the ages of 18 and 29 who favor the Hamas side of things. And they say in the Times, more stark than the partisan numbers in the is the generation gap, which reflects not only the experiences that people from different generations have had with the 75-year conflict between Israelis and Palestinians, but also their exposure to social media, especially TikTok, where brutal images of slain Palestinians bombard youthful eyes. Do you think a TikTok is a particularly intense problem?
I do, Michael, and those are great points. Yeah, TikTok is just one short video after another, and it's usually folks that are in your face with these strong opinions and emotions, and that's hard to process, especially when there's no credits to roll and no quietness after it. No, the algorithm just feeds you the next one and the next one and the next one. And so we have this stupendous idea that kids are considering the letter to America that Bin Laden wrote and considering the pro-Palestinian views and pro-Hamas views that their parents otherwise wouldn't. The only thing worse than the addictive technologies that drive these social media platforms is the addictive technologies plus bad ideas. That's just recipe for disaster. And the bottom line here is you've got to pull away. Whether you're a teenager or you're an adult, you've got to have space between you and these platforms, between you and your smartphone. That is the only way to reflect on your own experience in life and to think about good ideas versus bad ideas. You've got to give yourself space, you know, and that's what these ideas are doing. You know, the folks in Ireland who are trying this with no smartphones in schools, and even in the United States, we're trying it. You know, you've got to give kids space to think and to be themselves and to connect with other human beings. Otherwise, we're in for it.
Last question for you, Andrew. You mentioned you have three daughters and a son. Which group of people, male or female, in your family is more pulled into the smartphone world? The boy or the three girls?
Well, I would say, my boy is 24 now, and so we made a mistake of giving him a smartphone too early. And so he was drawn into that to a much higher degree than my daughters. My oldest daughter is 14. She has zero interest in social media. In fact, she rolls her eyes when she sees the teenagers around her who are staring at their phones and constantly taking pictures of themselves. She's got no interest.